Once upon a time, there were three little pigs. Mama sent the three little pigs out into the world to make their fortune. The first little pig saw a man that was carrying some hay. He said, "Can I have some of that hay to build me a house?" He built a house out of hay. And the big bad wolf came and said, little pig, let me come in." The little pig said, "Not by the hair of my chinny chin chin. Then I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house in." And the wolf blew in the house made with hay. The little pig ran away and ran to his brother's house. His brother had found someone who had sticks, and he had built a house out of sticks. And the wolf shows up at that house and says, little pigs, let me come in. Not by the hair of my chinny chin chin. Then I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house in. And he blew down the house made with sticks. The third little pig, however, he built his house out of brick. And the two pigs who had lost their homes ran to his house and stayed safely within his home. The big bad wolf appeared. He said, little pigs, let me come in. Not by the hair of my tinny chin chin. Then I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house in. And he huffed and he puffed, and he couldn't blow the house down. Different storytellers end the story in different ways. I like the version where the wolf tries to get to the pigs by coming down the chimney. And when he comes down the chimney, the pigs have already set a pot of boiling water beneath him. And the wolf comes down and falls in the water and is cooked. And thereby we get Wolf Brand chili. But one way or another, the pigs survive, and the wolf finds his end, and the pigs live happily ever after. It's a great children's story. You and I grew up hearing it. We taught it to our kids and our grandkids. You think about the story for just a minute. There are a lot of similarities in the pigs' stories and some important differences. You think about it. They all knew that they had to have shelter. And so when mom sends them away to make their fortune in life, the first thing they did was to build a home. They all made the same choice. And once they built their home, they all said the same things. Not by the hair of my chinny chin chin. They made many of the same choices. They all built homes. They used the same language. They said the same things. But they wound up with very different results in the end, didn't they? And what made the difference? It was the materials that they used to build their homes. This morning, I want us to think really seriously together about building to last. That little straw or that hay house, that wasn't going to last very long. If it wasn't the wolf, it would have been the storm, but it wasn't going to last long. That house made out of sticks, it wasn't going to stand very strong for very long. If it wasn't the wolf, it would have been a big gust of wind, but one way or another, it was going to fall soon. But that house of brick, that was going to stand strong. It was built to last. There was a man who wanted to build a home, and so he hired a contractor. The contractor hired other contractors. It became an expensive project. It took months and months, and they finally built the home according to the plans. All the rooms were just the right size and in just the right places. And everything was painted just the right way, and everything looked wonderful. And the man moved in. And the first time rain came, the house was washed away, because the entire house, although paid for, although planned for, built according to specs, everything was right, except they had built the house out of cardboard. How silly and stupid a story that is. Because how silly and stupid it would be for anyone to not notice a cardboard house. For anyone to let contractors build out of cardboard. No one would do that. And so we've just wasted the last 2.5 minutes of that story. And yet, how many of us waste so much more of our lives building with the wrong materials, wasting time and resources, building a life that won't last? Look with me, if you will. 1 Corinthians, New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I want us to begin at verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Beginning at verse 10. Now, what has happened thus far in the book of Corinthians, especially at the beginning of chapter 3? Paul went to Corinth and he established a church. Paul then was called to move elsewhere. When he went somewhere else, Apollos came in behind him, and Apollos took over leadership of the church. And so it's just, you know, Paul was like the first pastor. And then he went on to another church, and Apollos became like the second pastor. Now, a good bit of time has passed. And so within the congregation, you've got some folks saying, we're more important because we joined the church when Paul was pastor. Paul baptized us. And then there are others who are saying, no, that just means you're old. That means you've been around too long. We came into the church under Apollos. And Apollos was a better preacher than Paul. And we liked Apollos. He was a good guy. We liked him. We're the better group because we were baptized by Apollos. And so Paul writes the third chapter of 1 Corinthians to say, it's not about serving Paul or Apollos. It's about serving the Lord. And the way this worked was, I came in and I planted something, but Apollos came and he watered it. And God is the one who gave the increase. If you're in the church, it's because God brought you in, not because Paul or Apollos. And that's the background of what he's saying here when he gets to verse 10. According to the grace of God, which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I laid a foundation and another is building upon it. Paul says, God blessed me by allowing me to take on the role of the master builder, the general contractor. The first thing I did was lay the foundation. And now someone else has come in and he is building on that foundation. It's not that my work is more important than his or his work is more important than mine. It's just that we had different roles. We came at different times. God is the one who is working through this thing. But as he talks about that, something triggers in his mind. Exactly what was that foundation I laid when I came? Let's start again at verse 10. According to the grace of God which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building upon it. But let each man be careful how he builds upon it. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Here's what I want you to see first this morning. When we are building to last, we have to start with the right foundation. When we are building a life that's going to last, a life that's going to make a difference, a life that is going to actually impact eternity to some point, we have to start with the right foundation. Paul says, it's not about me or Apollos. I came and laid a foundation. Then he started building on it. But don't ever forget what that foundation was that I laid. Earlier in this book, he says, I preach Christ and Him alone. He told the Colossians that he is going to preach Christ and Him crucified. It's all about the foundation. He says, if anyone, you can't build on any other foundation except the one that I started you with, the right foundation, and that is the person of Jesus Christ. No man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. You cannot build a life that lasts on any other foundation. You can't build a life that lasts on religion. It's not about going to church. It's not about saying the right things at the right time. It's not about joining the right club or the right committees. It's not about religion. When we base our life on religion, that foundation is not firm enough, not steady enough to hold up a life that will last. It's not about being good. That foundation won't carry you through. It's not about being a good person. Riches won't do it. You know some people who base their entire life on making sure that the people around them know how much money they have. Everything they do, from the time they get up in the morning till the time they go to bed at night, they're trying to prove to somebody how important they are based on how much money they've got. You know somebody like that. We all know somebody like that. They've said, my foundation is going to be my finances. You know people who base their whole life on being the smartest person in the room. They define themselves. They think of themselves and how they relate to folks and relate to the world based on the fact that I'm the smartest one here and I'm going to prove it to you. They base their whole life on a foundation that's not going to last. Some folks make their foundation appearances. Don't bother me with the truth. All I care about is how I look to people, what people think about me and my family. Do we get the accolades? Do we get the respect that we deserve? It's a foundation that's not going to last. Some folks choose music or art or popularity or power. You get the point. We could go on and on. But Paul says there's only one foundation that will last long enough to build a life that will last. Only one foundation can handle life, and that is the person of Jesus Christ. It is only when we base our life, in other words, we define who we are, we live our lives based on our relationship to Jesus. That's the only way that we can build a life that will last. Boy was, many years ago, was being examined for church membership. We don't do that anymore in our tradition and haven't for a very long time. But there were traditions that for a long time would gather some deacons and ministers, and in order to join the church, you would be examined. We would test your faith. We'd find out for sure what you thought, your beliefs. And a young boy was going through that experience. He was 10 years old, and they asked him to tell about his life before Christ and what changed and all of that. And he said, he talked about that he knew he had sin, and he said, and Jesus has forgiven me of all my sin. And one of the men in the group said, well, you hope he has forgiven you. And the boy said, no, I know he has forgiven me. And the man said, how can you know that? And the boy said, because he said so. That was all it took. Because Jesus said so. The Bible says that we can know that we've been forgiven. Look at 1 John. Not right now, but when you have time. The Bible says we can know that we've been forgiven. We can know that Jesus really died on the cross to pay for our sin. When we accept Him into our lives, we can know that we've been set free and we have life for abundantly here and forever there. These are things we can know. That's the foundation upon which we build. Our whole lives are based on the fact that Jesus is who He said He was. on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. If we're going to build in a way that lasts, we start with the right foundation. The second thing I want us to realize this morning is that if we're going to build in a way that lasts, we can only use the best materials. You don't build a house out of cardboard. You build a house out of the materials that are going to be strong and hold up. Remember the pigs. You don't build a house out of hay or sticks. You build a house out of brick. You build a house out of the best materials. Let's look at our text at verse 12. Now, if any man builds upon the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident. For the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. You know, you can use inferior materials, and as long as you paint it good, at first, nobody's going to tell the difference. But before long, it reveals itself to be inferior. You start having all kinds of problems. And so he says here in verse 12 again, if any man builds on the foundation with these things, verse 13 then, each man's work will become evident. Eventually, it's going to become clear what you're building your life out of. And how's that going to happen? It's going to happen by fire. There's a day coming. This verse talks about the day. Did you see that? In verse, I think it's 13. Each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it. The day. What day? The day that Jesus returns. There will be a day when Jesus returns. And that begins a whole series of very important events. One of the very important events is when believers, Christians, stand before Him and He looks at our lives and He sets fire to all that we've built. The stuff that doesn't matter, the stuff that was temporary, the stuff that was about us, the stuff that was selfish, burns up and goes away, and we've wasted our time and our resources. The stuff that was about Him, the stuff that matters, the stuff that affects eternity, that endures the test. You see the materials that he lists in verse 12? Listen to those again. In verse 12, now if any man builds on the foundation gold, silver, precious stones, what happens when you put fire to that stuff? It all survives. It all lasts. It might melt. It might get a little dirty, a little ugly. If there's any impurities in it, those impurities might go away. But the gold, the silver, the precious stones last. But look at the next three. Wood, hay, straw. What happens when you put fire to wood, hay, straw? It's gone. What he's doing is listing the kinds of materials that we use when we build our lives. And he's saying there's going to be a time. I think the easiest way to think about this is that there are two different kinds of judgments. One judgment decides, are you a believer or not? Are you saved or lost? The saved come into the kingdom. The lost don't. The lost wind up in hell. But then there is a different judgment for believers, for Christians, in which he says, what have you done with what I gave you? Let's look at it and see what you built. If you built it for you, it's going to burn up. If you built something for me, then that's going to be gold, silver, precious stones. Let me make sure that I've made something very clear, and that is this. If you are a believer, You are a builder. You don't really have an option. You are building your life. When you got up this morning, you put on clothes. By the way, thank you for that. When you got up this morning, you put on clothes, you showed up in church. You're building a life. Today was the next step in your building program. You are building if you're a believer. The only question is, what are you building with? God wants us to build with our best materials. Let me show you why. God wants us to build with our best materials because, first of all, He is worthy of our best. There is more than one place in Scripture where He says, if you're not going to bring your best to worship, don't show up. That's clearly a paraphrase. That's in the Crowder translation. But I can show you at least three different texts where that's the meaning. If you're not going to bring me your best in worship, just don't show up. Why? Because He is worthy of our best. That's why in the Old Testament law, it said when you make a sacrifice, you find one without blemish. You bring me the best that you have. You bring me the first fruits. You bring me the best because God is worthy of our best. You know, when you show up for what we call worship, and you just kind of give Him half of you, you just kind of give Him a little bit of effort, it's actually an insult because you're telling God, this is all you're really worth to me. God is worthy of our best so that every day we live in a way that is an act of worship. Romans 12. Colossians 3 and 23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for man. He deserves our best. So we build with our best because He's worthy of it. We also build with our best because the best is most effective. The best materials are those that last. We want a life that's going to make a difference. It's going to last. We build with those things that are most effective in accomplishing that. We build with the right materials because they're most effective. We build with the right materials because they last. Wood, hay, stubble burns up. Gold, silver, precious stones don't. They last. What are you building your life out of? Our best materials for building a life are doing the right things for the right reasons. Now notice that's two different things. A lot of folks do the right things, but with the wrong motives. We do the right things so that we can be seen or appreciated or clapped for or honored. A lot of folks do the right thing for the wrong reason. But our best materials are doing the right things for the right reasons. Last Sunday, we got to worship with a friend of mine. Billy Edwards is the pastor of Brazos Meadows Baptist Church in Hewitt. We got to worship with them this past Sunday morning. And Billy says about these materials that we use in building our lives. Billy says those materials that last are doing God's will, God's way, with God's supply. I think he got it, don't you? If you know Billy, don't tell him that I complimented him, please. But I think he got this right. The building materials that last are doing God's will, God's way, with God's supply. That's what lasts in life. You see, it's not enough to do the right thing because God looks at the heart. And if we're not serving Him faithfully and humbly, then we're wasting our time. For example, you come here on Sundays at 10:15. If you spend your time here complaining or judging or getting attention or checking on Facebook or playing angry birds or words with friends. It's wood, hay, and stubble. If you come here at 10:15 in order to sacrificially worship a holy and almighty God, gold, silver, precious stones. See the difference? If you have a position of leadership or responsibility within the church and you only do it half-heartedly, you just do enough to get by, you just kind of keep the job and do a little bit here and there, wood, hay, and stubble. But you use all of your gifts and abilities and you do the best job you can do, gold, silver, precious stone. If you give to others around you because you have to, or because you want to impress somebody, wood, hay, stubble. If you give to those people to really help them and to represent Christ to them, gold, silver, precious stones. You get the point. So let me ask you. How's your building project going? What are you building with today? As we think about that, remember, you've got to start with the right foundation. Use only the best materials. And then receive your reward. You receive your reward. Look at verse 14. If any man's work which he has built upon it remains, he shall receive a reward. There's going to be a fire set to everything you've built. And anything that remains will be your reward. Verse 15, if any man's work is burned up, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as through fire. You see, he wants to make sure that we understand he's not talking about burning you up and you losing your salvation. This is the judgment time for believers. You don't lose your salvation. He's just saying, we're going to take everything you've built. God, Jesus, as the righteous judge, is going to burn it up. The stuff that lasts will bring you reward. You're not going to get burned up. He said, you may look like you've been through a fire. When all is said and done and there's nothing around you but ashes, and you lack reward because of that. But he said, you're still saved. It's not a point of salvation. Those who have built out of the lasting materials receive reward. This is what we call the judgment at the Bema seat. Perhaps you've heard that term, the Bema seat. That word for Bema really just means platform. And what would happen at the Athenian Games, kind of like the early version of the Olympics, there was a platform on which the judge sat, and he would watch the racers do their thing. And at the end of the race, the one who had won was called up to the Bema, called up to the platform where the judge would give him that laurel thing, that it would place that little crown, if you will, on his head, the wreath on his head to say he's the winner. So understand, the Bema seat is a judgment of reward. It's all about rewards. It's not at that point about eternal punishment. It's about rewards. The judge is going to determine what kind of rewards you receive based on what you've done that lasts. How have you served the Lord faithfully and humbly with the time and resources He gave you? When you find yourself standing before the Lord at the Bema, how much of the life you've built so far will last? Bob Hartman wrote a song that sums it up really well. when our labor all retire, there will be a trial by fire. Will your treasure pass the test, or will it burn up with the rest? You may build on a sure foundation with your building in dilapidation. When it all comes down to rubble, will it be wood, hay, or stubble? Or precious stones, gold and silver? Are you really sure? And we all will stand at the Bema seat. All will be revealed. It will be complete. Will there be reward in the fiery heat when we see our lives at the Bema seat? Every building will be shaken. Every motive will be tried. He'll give reward to the faithful. Will you receive or be denied? Beloved, as we enter 2013, decide to build this year of your life with lasting materials, the stuff that matters. Will this be a year of wasted time and wasted resources, or will it be a year of building your life with things that last and bring glory to God? You can't go back in time and redo what's already done, but you can decide to start building a life that fits God's plan, a life that He will reward someday. How do you do that? You start in Jesus as the foundation. Then you build on that foundation by doing God's will, God's way, with God's supply. Let's pray.